Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
It's the JT and Looney Podcast, episode 203. You know my friend Bobby, and you know I've known him all my life because I still call him by his little boy name, Bobby. Friends since we were 12. Bobby cashed in betting on the Baltimore Orioles last year to win more than 89 games. He says betting on futures is fun. And at Bet Online, that's what you can do. Your number one source for your summer sports this season, Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, NHL playoff stats. You can go in there and have a lot of fun betting on futures, like how many games the Baltimore Ravens are going to win this year. Are they going to win more than nine? I don't know what the line is right now. You're going to have to take a look. But it's fun, those kind of bets. All your stats, news, sources available at BetOnline. Odds and lines, latest team matchups and props. Oh, my God, I love the props and the futures. Head to the website today, BetOnline. Use your phone or your home PC. BetOnline, where the game starts. And now the podcast starts, damn it.
Come in, please.
That's what we like to hear. Recording in progress.
If everybody knew what you were laughing about and what could see before what happens here. Now I'm at the point where I have to make wait for my son to come home from work before I don't have any anxiety to press buttons. But great to see you. I know you got some free time now that the Lakers have been eliminated. I know your schedule opens tonight, and my Vegas Golden Knights just lost three in a row. Oh, nothing. They're the Stanley Cup champions. They went up 2-0. That would be like the Lakers going up 2-0 in Denver and coming home and losing 3 in a row, 2 at home. Vegas just lost 3 in a row to the number one seed, and we had them on the ropes. And now there'll be an elimination game on Friday night here in Vegas when I was looking forward to 2 months of hockey, 2 months of grabbing my tall vodka sodas and heading up to the nightclub at the arena and hanging out with my friends afterwards on school nights, and that could be coming to an end.
It could be coming to an end for the Los Angeles Kings as well, who are down to the Edmonton Oilers and wavering in the breeze and might be joining the Los Angeles Lakers in Cancun tomorrow if things don't go better tonight. And I want your opinion on this. I already know what it is, but I just love to push your buttons. We know to love to push each other's buttons. This is right in your wheelhouse. Lakers hosting the Mavericks, trying to, you know, tie that up at 2-2. No Kawhi tonight for the Clippers. Clippers hosting the Mavericks. No Kawhi tonight for the Clippers, JT. No Kawhi. What the hell was that deal? What the hell was that?
Kawhi Leonard makes close to $400,000 a game, I think. And he doesn't look, he is hurt. I will tell you, Kawhi, he's a 2-time finals MVP. Yeah. Right? He won a couple of championships. A lot like Kevin Durant. He is, because Durant won 2 finals MVPs for the Warriors. Kawhi played for Pop. How did Pop ever let him go? And then he goes to Toronto and hits one of the biggest shots I've ever seen and wins a championship for a country, Canada, home of my favorite band, Rush. Then he goes to the Clippers because he wants to be close to Riverside, not like the Mondrian and the Sunset Strip. He wants to be close to Riverside. And then when he plays, he just plays whenever he can, because if he can't play, you know one thing, Kawhi won't play. If he doesn't feel like he can go, Kawhi won't go.
How do you think those Clippers fans feel that they thought, okay, here we go. And they were able to screw over the Lakers. The Lakers were going to get Kawhi. The Lakers are going to get Paul George, have a super team. Something else for the Clippers to stew about. Then they get a super rich owner who decides to compete. They are able to steal away Kawhi Leonard and Paul George from the Lakers, where we thought they were going. And then Kawhi doesn't play. I mean, how screwed over do those fans feel?
Yeah, and he makes a lot of money. And Steve Ballmer, if you didn't show up to work at Microsoft when he was head of sales, right, fired you. If you're an engineer at Microsoft and he was giving those unbelievable speeches where he was sweating through his shirt and firing up, you know, everyone who showed up for the Microsoft launch. I don't know. The bigger story for me here is going forward with that new arena they're building. When I was out there for the Chargers games in L.A. and they were building that, I said, holy shit, I've never seen an arena that big. And I've seen them build T-Mobile, Allegiant Stadium, other arenas.
And I had my hard hat on when they built. I did that same thing you did, put on a hard hat when I worked with the LA Downtown News. And I went in there with Gary Leonard, a great photographer, all-world photographer. Remember photographers, JT? They used to have jobs and stuff. Now we're all photographers. And I went in and went into a luxury box with Mike Roth and with a hard hat. And it looked like it was going to be, you know, the premier arena, and it was 24 years ago, and now this Clipper arena is going to be the premier arena.
Yeah, but I've always said I don't think the Clippers, and I'm not exaggerating. I've been known to exaggerate. I don't lie, but I've been known to exaggerate. Mm-hmm. I really believe, I think this is 20,000 capacity, if not more. I don't think there's that many Clipper fans in LA. I'm dead serious. You might think I'm joking. No, they do not have 200,000 fans on their email list where, hey, I can't go Tuesday night. Well, I'll go into our Laker mailing list that has 17 million fans and say we have an X in the lower bowl and like 4 million people log in and want to get those tickets. I don't know how they're going to fill the joint. And the upcoming story is going to get real big, and you'll be covering it in L.A., the fact that Steve Ballmer shouldn't let Kawhi play for America, his country, in the Olympics. I mean, how do you tell someone you can't play in the Olympic Games? No, he has to tell Kawhi, I'm a multi-billionaire. You're my employee. You're never available to play. You're not spending the summer in Paris at the Olympics where you will further get hurt. And then I'm going to open up my new arena and you're not going to play for the first 6 months. That's going to get dicey. That's coming up. Get ready for that one.
Yeah, he should go to Germany to that doctor that Kobe went to, the doctor that spins stuff. And he should be with doctors and masseuses and he should be spending the entire summer, which will be pretty soon if you're a Clipper, and just getting better. Just getting healthy.
When Kawhi played with the Spurs and I was down there for that championship and I watched him play live in the playoffs, I mean, his hands, they showed something the other day, his hand, I'm showing this for our friends on video, his hands are double the size of Paul George. I mean, this guy's got hands that look like catcher's mitts, and he's a great player, but let's not spend most of our podcast on Kawhi.
Oh my God. It's like rule number one of any sports talk radio format or platform. Don't talk too much about the fucking Clippers or people aren't going to listen. Right. Good job. Yeah, good catch.
This is the most partners I have on any platform. You, I end up talking every day. Me, you can't even take a break. I did like a 28-minute monologue. Earlier today on my show, I had the GM of the Raiders, Tom Telesco, right at 12:01. Show starts at noon. Mm. And then Vince Monsignor, great insider. You hear him in L.A. all the time. He was in studio with me. So when Telesco wrapped up, Vinny jumped in at like 12:17. I took him to 12:29. Then I went to break and came out of break. And John Brankus, remember the sports science guy, science on ESPN? He did 1,800 shows. He's one of the largest all-time producers of content in ESPN history. He's launching a new channel. I talked to him. By the time I came out of that interview, there were 4 minutes left in the hour, local radio there, and it was just me. And I said to myself, I wish I had one of those shows where the guy has six co-hosts, so I could have went up.
Oh, right. What'd you have for lunch today?
Yeah. What'd you do today? Oh, and then there's, you know, those shows with six guys on at the same time. I don't know if you noticed behind the glass, they have four other guys who are allowed to talk to.
Nice budget.
Everyone's allowed. Yeah. Not only nice budgets, but I said this to a good friend of mine who happens to be a program director the other day, because we always kind of sneak in programming ideas.
Right. And so who is it? What's his name?
No, I'm going to leave him out of the podcast here. I'm going to leave him out. But I was talking to a friend of mine who is a podcast.
I get a kick out of myself.
The only difference between now, 2024, and when I started in 1996 is anyone's allowed to talk on the radio now. Like, there's no rules. Right. Like, board ops. Like, if you were a board op or if you were a phone screener or if you were a producer and you got on the radio back in the day and said a word, you could have got fired. Like, they would have said, man, we're going to fire you. Come up to the fourth floor.
Did you turn on that microphone? Yeah, that would be the first question. Did you turn on that microphone? That would be the first question from a program director to a board op.
And now everyone's allowed to talk. My two biggest pet peeves in radio, and I'm an expert on this because one of the things I like to do is provide topics. Mm-hmm. Again, I do it all by myself every day. I don't deserve a medal. See, my dad's old medals are behind me if you're watching, but I love the process of building topics every day. I mm-hmm. love that. I wake up in the morning and I do, you could call it cheating. I watch a couple other shows to see what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But then I was taught under such discipline and maybe fear when I started, because I gave up a lucrative job as a stockbroker to get into radio. I took a 75% pay cut. I love building topics. And now it gets to the point where the producers build the topics. The other people in the meeting build the topics. The host comes in with a coffee, grabs a bagel. Hey, what are we talking about today? The producers tell the host, this is what we should talk about today. And most of the time they get it right. And they know the big storylines. But there are too many young broadcasters now that feel that they can talk about whatever the fuck they want when they get behind. You're not allowed to talk about what you want to talk about. You're supposed to talk about what the program director, the general manager, and the bosses approve. Like, you just can't get on the radio in LA and talk about the Indiana Pacers for 30 minutes, right?
Yeah, for years you had to a lot of times run it by your program director. What are you going to talk? No matter what the format, what are you guys going to talk about today? And then the program director many times would give his opinion on that. That's gone. We revere guys like Belichick and Phil Jackson and Pop and leaders over the years. But in radio, we used to have leaders that did that with us. I never forget back in the FM talk days, body talk days. Mm-hmm. Howard Stern all morning, potty talk all day and night with Looney Live and Local late at night at 97.1, the FM talk station. And I remember before I went on the air was Jack Silver. He said, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, you know, the John F. Kennedy Jr. Plane crash. He said, how can you relate to that? And how can the audience relate to you if you're talking about John F. Kennedy Jr.? What do you have in common with John F. Kennedy Jr.? I said, well, Jack, he has one sibling and I have one sibling. And both of us, when we were four, our dad died. How's that for starters, Jack? And he said, okay. It's like, okay. And he dropped it. It was one of the great program director talent conversations I ever had. He was cool enough to say, okay, have at it. But you used to have to run it by. And now the problem is not enough sports. And when you're talking about the other voices, and I'm not being bitter, I'm being a program director, as are you. If I don't know who's talking, it bothers me. And I'm in radio. You know, I could go home from college and answer the phone. If it was one of my mother's friends, I knew exactly. You know, I knew voices. I knew who was doing the voiceovers on TV. And if I'm in the car and I don't know who they're talking to, and if it's a board op or a guest, it really gets them on my nerves. And it's one thing about having too many people talking. Who is this voice? What is this voice that just came in?
Again, I think for our newer audience, and welcome into the JT and mm-hmm. Looney podcast, I'm having a Justin Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, wow.
As we sit here, I'm going to Canelo. We'll get to that. Going to Canelo.
Great.
On Saturday night, Cinco de Drinko, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, what a great weekend in Vegas. Kentucky Derby. Down the stretch they come. And then you go to the fight. What a great Saturday. Oh, my God.
I feel like I have to send a horse and buggy to the Hollywood Hills to get you to come here on these weekends.
I'm newsboy this week. Not only that, I'm newsboy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's, you know, we have a president and we have a porn star trial with a former president. We have college unrest, local story, local story, local story, sports, weather, done. It's going to be easy the next couple of days. I'm very excited.
As long as they're protesting, which is a big topic today and tonight on the JT and Looney podcast, we're going to talk about that. But getting back to something really quick, you want a little JFK Jr. trivia?
Oh, yes.
My whole youth growing up, and for a long, long time, everyone called me John John. You didn't know that?
Oh, I did not know that. Wow.
My mom, and you sit down with my neighbors, they called me John John because John is my name, and JFK, and being around and born the day after the JFK assassination, I had nothing to do with them calling me John John, but they called JFK's son
John John.
John John, and it just picked up. So the neighborhood girls who were older than me and babysat, and everybody called me John John.
Oh, God, I love this.
And I can't remember that far back because we can only remember far back, but I can't. And my grandmother called me John John. So that stuck with me for a very long time. I didn't hate it. It wasn't something that made me cringe, but it took a long time until I evolved into JT, which, by the way, no one ever called me that ever. As in ever. My parents, no one I played Little League with, rugby with, no, until I got to college and right around that. So just wanted to get that out of the way. But back to programming.
One quick thing about that, because I don't want to miss this moment, even if it's a rabbit hole. What's your oldest memory? And if I'm ambushing a talk show host with a question that he didn't know he was going to get asked and you're not sure, or if you've been asked before and might know the answer, I want to know if you know the answer.
My oldest memories are my parents. I can't say I can remember before my sisters were born exactly at that. I just remember a lot of early memories of the Yankees around my house and my dad.
That's adorable. The Yankees. That's funny. Wow.
And my cousins and my grandparents, you know, my grandfather, my grandmother, my grandmother on my mom's side. Those are my earliest memories, Christmas and all that. But to have that one specific, because remember, every broadcaster who goes to Syracuse lies and say they grew up with the pillow and the game under
a transistor radio. Yes.
I'm not going to tell you there was one memory that I remember clearly.
But I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it now that I've asked you. It was asked years and years ago of me. It might have been a college professor. And it's fascinating because it's diapers. And my mother and father and brother went to Rochester, Minnesota, to the Mayo Clinic. And I was, and my aunt took care of me. She had 7 boys. So that'll strike a kid. When you're in a house with a family of 4, then you go to a house with a family of 9, and then 7 boys, it's striking. And in the middle of the night, my cousin Billy, who's 3 days younger than me, needed his diapers changed, and she turned on the light in the middle of the night. I remember looking over, and she turned on the light, and she had the diapers. That's diapers. So however
you remember.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I'm guessing it had to be, it's diaper age, right? Probably under 2. You wear diapers to your 2, right? So
I don't go back that.
What?
I don't go back that far. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't. That's why all of a sudden it hit me that I thought I would have, you know, since it's this format, we're allowed to go down rabbit holes. Unlike we probably wouldn't go far that down far a rabbit hole if we were on at night talking sports, because you and I always had that timer in our head about how far to wander before we came back to the sports ranch.
I bet you I'd speak for a lot of young boys at the time, because I had such a great childhood, great parents, great grandparents. I had the best childhood. I mean, the best. Some of the things I remember at the earliest age was getting in trouble, because I was a mischievous kid. I got in trouble a lot, got trouble in school. And I think that stays with you longer than, hey, I remember this happened, or my first dog. And then, I mean, I remember all that, but I just, when I look back in my youth, it was so positive. There was so many great experiences. The memories of me getting in trouble because I deserved it and I did something wrong. Don't those memories stay with you in a lot of ways too? When you think back, oh, I remember.
Oh,
the first
my
time
God. Yeah. Oh my, I remember Mrs. Klugo coming in to scream at me in front of the class. She's a lunch lady. Scream at me in front of the class. There was an immigrant kid from Poland and we were fooling around outside. She didn't think I treated him properly, which is pretty ironic considering my love of the immigrant. But I remember her yelling at me in fifth grade in front of the entire class. And me just having to block it out because it was so embarrassing. And I'm not easily embarrassed, as we know, class clown. But that was, I remember that so clearly. And yeah, you remember the times you got in trouble. Those are the things, you remember the more emotional things. Those are the things that stand out over the years.
Yeah, I remember in fifth grade or sixth grade, Mrs. Mandel, it was probably sixth grade, but I remember getting in trouble a lot. And she would make us write oceans and continents. So we'd have to take out loose leaf paper and write every ocean and every continent. Hours.
If you got in trouble.
Yeah, you got in trouble. Yeah. Wow. Go there, oceans. So I remember having to take it home and explain it to my parents. As I was writing oceans and continents.
Wow.
With. But I digress. Back to the programming issue, because you know, we always try to bring up the name Andrew Ashwood, our sure. program director, one of the best of all time, documented, one of the greatest program directors of all time. And I just remember being taught from him and others that how to structure a radio show, and how to put together the monologue. Then that's what I think I do every day now. I try to come up with 20 to 25 minutes. We're doing it now on YouTube. And what I do is I own those 20, 25 minutes. Now, some fake program directors who've never cracked a microphone and copy everything off Twitter will tell you, well, you don't need any callers. Shouldn't take a call. It should be all about you. Screw you. I talk by myself for 5 to 6 hours a day. It's nice to take a call and have a good guest, as I mentioned. But I never take a minute for granted, a segment for granted, an hour for granted, because those first 20 to 25 minutes is me. I try not to block. Like today, I had the GM of the Raiders on, so I opened up the show with the guests, which I typically don't do. But when I get that first 20 minutes, I own it and give everybody my full focus on what I believe on every topic. I teach myself to say there's more opinions in that 26 minutes. There's more hot takes. There's more things that I really thought out that I'm proud of that I'm saying that I don't want to hear any shit from any program director, because what I just did over 26, 27 minutes, in my belief, is more than some radio shows do for 4 hours, that chit chat and let the guys in the back room talk and let the third board op talk. And then the guy comes on and interrupts the guest to try to be funny. That's what's taking over media now. Get as many voices as you can. Get some to try to be funny, some try to be straight, talk over each other, and just entertain. Well, that's the type of radio that's blossoming now, is these shows that have 6, 7, 8 voices going on at once, because the people sitting in their cars believe, hey, I'm one of those 7 or 8. I'm one of those guys there. I can see myself. I'm relatable to that board op. And the guy sitting in the back row, he reminds me of me. So I like the show for that reason. And good for them if that's how they enjoy listening to radio.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's what, you know, I like listening to my guys. What I mean that is all throughout the years, because I've always been a radio listener. I remember live sports would come on. And I'd say, oh, where's Big Joe? The Clippers? Where's Big Joe? You know, that would be... And you want your guys. And going back to that hot tub time machine to 1999, 2000, and back to the FM talk station. And I spoke to a board op in the middle of the night about something. And I was on a roll, sounded good. I'm going over a tape with the program director. He said, where's this voice? I mean, he knew who it was, but he was talking about a listener. There's all of a sudden there's this voice that you're talking to. And he was so right. And it stuck in my head about, and I think when I'm driving in the car now and all of a sudden I know my guys, it's John and Ken, it's whoever it is. And there's this voice. They don't do that. They never did that. But, or they would call someone in and let you know who they're talking to. These voices come in and the host's not thinking like a listener, just like you said. throwing away, it's the last segment. Well, the listener just got in his car to go to the store. For him, it's the first segment. Every segment you do is some listener's first segment as he's getting in the car to go to the store because he's getting yelled at because he forgot butter.
You nailed that. My buddy Andy, mutual friend and fraternity brother of mine, says that he's a big sports radio guy and really great friend. And I'll ask him what he's listening to sports radio wise. And he says, I'm not. He goes, I get in the car and they're not talking sports. I go, what do you mean? He goes, no, that they're not talking sports. They're doing trivia. They're doing this. They're talking about their pickleball game or this and that. And I only have 11 minutes. It's amazing you said 11 minutes. He has 11 minutes to drive from school to home. And in those 11 minutes, he has his guys that he's trying to tune into and he can't because they're going out of their way not to talk about sports and talk about pickleball because the program director, who's never cracked a radio microphone, thinks that that's entertaining and that's better than sports. Imagine being in Los Angeles, 11 minutes, follow me here. LeBron James, Shohei Ohtani. The LA Kings on the verge of elimination. The Clippers are in the postseason. USC football and the portal. And how many other things I'm forgetting here? And you got 11 minutes and you're promoting a pickleball tournament. And the guy gets out of his car going, man, Ohtani's playing tonight. LeBron got eliminated yesterday. Because it gets back to my point again, is that the younger program director as of now, who shows up at the consulting conference, has never done anything. The old school program directors from back in the day that we grew up under, just to name a few, Bruce Gilbert, legend, Andrew Ashwood, go down the list. They sat in their offices and listened.
Tom Lee, who hired both of us.
Listened to every segment, scrutinized it. And because they knew advertisers and Cume and, you know, ratings and all that. Now ratings, I mean, everybody streamed. My show streamed. I count how many people pay me advertising money to listen to me in Vegas. It's really important to me because I take their partnership seriously. And I'm not a comedian, man. I don't have four jackoffs to talk to during a show to try to entertain people. I'm just trying to get the sports. And I think we step out of it a little bit outside the box there. But sticking to sports always worked for me.
And it doesn't hurt since it's the sports format. It doesn't hurt. And if you can, and if you're in Los Angeles, and you're Los Angeles, you even got now you can even talk Chargers and not bore people, because they have a world class coach. He's got a personality that fills up a room, and a track record of great teams in his wake. So nobody's got an excuse not to talk about sports on the radio in Los Angeles, but I don't know if you've got an excuse not to talk about, unless there's some kind of national or international tragedy. It is the spoken word format, and you have to react emotionally, as we have many times. And I think of the tsunamis in Japan, and we were watching it live and crapping our pants and couldn't talk about sports because what we were seeing on TV. You have to stop and be human at times. But that's stopping and being human, not talking pickleball. If it's the sports format, it's never going to hurt to stick to sports. I know that's a controversial point of view right now, but I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, the root of, and I've never been to therapy and I probably should have.
You need a team like from Europe working 24 hours a day.
If you were my therapist, you would give me a homework assignment and you'd go, hey, JT, go home and do a fake radio show with five other people. You're talking about the fact that 27 years. Why don't you go just hire four people to come in and pretend to do radio? I think that's the crux of some of my issues, is that I really think I do good with one of those shows that have three or four other guys talking.
You're a frat president, of course.
Yeah. Oh, and a great segue. Okay.
I'll decide.
Here we go. Yes, you will decide. Our listeners will buy it. Like and subscribe. I will tell you this, a big issue coming up now for me is the protest on these college campuses.
Oh, okay.
So we try to keep politics out of this podcast.
Yeah, of course.
So I will say this much. I don't like what I'm seeing. I grew up in a heavily populated Jewish community. I'm from Massapequa, Long Island. I grew up around Jews. My uncle was Jewish. I went to double-digit bar mitzvahs as a kid. Some of my best friends, my earliest girlfriend of my life was Jewish. Everybody I knew back there pretty much was Jewish. And what's happening to these students? Look, I don't want any atrocities in Gaza. I don't want innocent people getting killed in the Sudan. Anywhere around the world, you know me. Mm-hmm. But, and I know there are some really bad things happening now in Gaza, and it's an humanitarian issue now. And it has. It's an awful, it's a war. But the fact that Jewish students aren't able to go to class, they're not able to walk to class without feeling intimidated. These are violations of humanity, intimidating, bullying kids, threatening kids, professors allowing it. And it's driving me crazy. Every night I turn on the news the last 2 weeks, it leads the news now. It's not about the border. It's not even about the election. It's not, it even knocked Stormy Daniels off for a few days. It's about what's happening, where these infiltrators are coming on campus, and some are students and professors, but the majority of them are causing havoc and intimidating the Jewish students on campus. We cannot let this happen in the United States of America, especially in the highly density region of the Jews in New York City, where it's happening at an alarming rate.
Right. And those who want to end the atrocities, who are intense at UCLA, who are who the Palestinian or the pro-Palestinian kids got sprayed with bear spray last night on the campus of UCLA. And we need to be able to always, whether it's international politics or American politics, discuss, and you and I disagreed on things socially, politically, and sports over the years, but we didn't confuse it with you're a bad person because you disagree with me because I like Kobe. No, you fuck with each other about sports, or you can fuck with each other about politics. At the end of the day, we have our humanity in common, and as do Jews and Palestinians, they have their humanity in common, and both have one great thing in common. They want this over. Most do, because most people, what do most people do? They get up and their agenda each day is to put food on the table. And so it is really tough to see. And it's always upsetting for me in the political world, whether it's international politics like this. I know a lot of kids protesting on campus, too. It's part of belonging, and get that part. But when people mix up a disagreement over policy, with that you're a bad person. You want to buy more fighter jets, and I want to build more bike paths. Okay. And so you're a bad person because you want to buy, or I'm a bad person because I want to, or squishy because I want more bike paths coast to coast. And no, it's just we have two different opinions on it. At the end of the day, we're friends and we're human.
Yeah, when it came to Occupy Wall Street, as a former stockbroker, and the markets are going to affect people, and it affects homelessness, and people are in encampments across the street outside of Wall Street on Broad Street, I get that. It's Occupy Wall Street. Again, they're not interrupting a college campus where kids are paying to get an Ivy League education, even not an Ivy League, to get an education. With George Floyd and the killing of George Floyd, people weren't protesting on campus, keeping kids out of class. They were protesting violently in the streets. Some were peaceful, but a lot of violent protests is that. That was a powder keg. What bothers me so much about this in the last less than 100 years, less than 80 years, the Holocaust, everything that happened around the world and the atrocities to Jewish people, to see young Jewish boys and girls on a college campus scared to go from their dorm to their class, their class being canceled, their parents worried about them as they're going to get an education at Columbia. Oh, my God. So I'm a big believer. Jot all their names down. Find out who they are. This is a very important point. If you're going to arrest people, you don't have to arrest everyone. You arrest the people that are causing the most disturbance and intimidating people. And then find out who they are. Because in New York City, they're going to let everybody out of jail in 24 hours anyway. That's what they do. Find out who they are. And I want to know the math, Tom. And we're going to find out in the next week. How many people in the math equation were there who were students, professors, faculty, and how many were infiltrators paid or not encouraged to go on that campus? When we see that number, it might be 31%, 40%, 60% were infiltrators. Then we'll have a number to work on going forward. And I think as I didn't want to tweet, but I said it, that a lot of these kids are never going to get jobs. They're not. They think that they're protesting for something. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. Good luck.
And that's the age young people protest. And that part I get if it's the people on the college campuses. And part of the beauty of college for me, my first year and a half, my roommate was Yadola Mahmoudzadeh from Tehran, Iran. It was a fascinating. Yeah. And he was, and I knew Yada Shir and all his friends with all these exotic, wonderful names. And then my next roommate was Saul Rothenberg. And by the way, Yadi and Saul and I were all friends. Saul was Jewish. My previous roommate, Muslim from Iran. And so I never disliked Iran because of my college roommate. Isn't that the beauty of college? I could never really dislike Iran like everyone else because of that. And then Saul Rothenberg, who just died recently after a cancer battle. And we stayed friends all those years, all three of us. And so part of the beauty of college is the mix of and getting to know another culture late at night, learning more about Iranian culture and Jewish culture, because I went to Catholic schools. And that's part of the beauty is celebrating differences when you go to college.
And my sons, one just graduated Oklahoma, one just finished his junior year yesterday at Arizona State. And I want to get back to UCLA in a second. What was concerning about the UCLA riots were the police stood back. They let people come in there, and I don't know who they were. There were students at UCLA and said, we're going right in there, and we're going to fight, like a barroom fight. That happens all the time on college campuses. You're infringing on my school and my education. I'm just going to go out into the middle of that area, that common area. I'm going to fight you. And then the cops didn't get there. And all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom wants to investigate why the cops got there so late. And real people could have gotten killed and seriously injured. Hitting each other with wood and boards. You know, all it takes is
I watched on TV till late, and no cops showed up, and I went to bed.
Yeah, but the other thing, at Arizona State University, I think I know a little bit about this. The fraternity guys said, let's go. You know, a bunch of fraternity guys went down there and just rolled over the tents and ripped them up and said, get out of here. Everyone left. They said, we're going to take this into our own hands. You're not going to do that. So I think there should be law and order in this country. I think there should be law and order. And I am
way to go out on a limb, JT.
I knew you'd catch that. You'll probably put it into the title of the podcast. Theme, knowing you. But I just want to make sure that all this, however they figure it out, they're going to figure it out in Gaza. That's where it's happening, not in Colombia. Yeah, right. But I'm all for people peacefully protesting. But when you get involved with me and religion, and a religion that has been persecuted that long, and I see what's happening to these people, and I can see their eyes, and I know who they are, and I can see how scared they are. My buddy Sid Rosenberg, who we know, Sid in New York City, he's got a big radio show. He's on the front lines speaking out for the pro-Israelis there and the kids in school. And I just thought on this podcast, I wanted to say it's not about taking sides. It's just young students should be allowed on campus freely. Not intimidated, not scared, thinking they're going to get killed, hurt seriously, or they're going to be bullied. And that's happening on campuses throughout America tonight.
Absolutely. You go to college to be able to learn how to express yourself. You're right at an age where you're learning how to come out of social anxiety and be yourself, whatever yourself is, to wear your yarmulke with pride, to be a Muslim with pride, to wear your gay pride shirt, whatever it is, because you're coming out as a developing adult and learning how to be that. And college helps you be that in a safe environment. At least that's the idea. Where you can have a different background, different lifestyle, different orientation, different religion. And everyone's going to say, and intelligent, educated kids are going to say, ooh, what's that all about? And that's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be this. Oh, thank you for listening to all 36 minutes and 36 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast. You win the Jerry Coleman Award with a wink and a nod to Michael Ryan. Former editor of the Arizona Republic. Big fan of mine. He thinks JT's okay. Oh, and we're powered by BetOnline. Did I mention that?
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for yourself, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
So many teenagers waiting to be adopted from foster care feel like their lives are over. They've given up hope of having a permanent home and are terrified of aging out with no support system. Right now, more than 113,000 children are waiting to be adopted in the U.S. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is dedicated to finding them the right family before it's too late. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org/learn more.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.